If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome everybody back to a brand new episode of the podcast. I'm the host of this here podcast, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
The upper top square. He's back. He's on the cast. He's in Austin. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
I'm just out here aura farming, boys. It's Friday night. The boys are back. Let's get it.
We are back. Back from Europe, down there in the desert. Matt Conner, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Man, it's good to see you, boys. It's been a couple weeks.
Oh, dang it. Now yours is slow.
Mine?
There's that lag. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to get a new router tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. You sound all right. It sounded like you had five drinks in one sentence. Good to be back, boys.
Well, hey, nobody said it would be easy, boys. The good news is we back, baby.
Let's go. Yeah, it is nice to see you guys. Obviously, you know, we've all been texting and stuff. We took a little vacation break there. Let's see. Where do I want to start? You know what? I'll just start with took a red eye, flew back to Baltimore, right? I was going to say, I think I talked a while ago. Unfortunately, I had a cousin that had passed away, my cousin Christina. So the first day I'm there, main thing, I said, Mom, we're going to get dinner with Uncle Tim and Aunt Barb. Aunt Barbara. Kind of funny. You know, I haven't lived in Baltimore in years, so I just kind of look at restaurants, and there's this one like a mile from my sister's house. I said, you been there? She goes, I haven't been there. I hear good things. I said, all right. So then she goes, there's other restaurants. I said, yeah, I don't know. I kind of like this one, right? So fly in, you know, Saturday morning, BS, take like a 3-hour nap. I get up. My Uncle Timmy, of course, you know, let me pick you up. I said, Timmy, the place is down the street. You don't got to pick me up. Me and my mom will be sitting there. And then, frankly, I said, I'm going to have a fancy cocktail by the time you get there. So as we're leaving, my sister kind of reiterates, like, that's a very neighborhood restaurant. And I'm like, all right, yeah, cool. Whatever. Cobb, I see you smiling. You might put two and two together before I did.
I love this.
Right. You guys will sit in the bar or the restaurant? And they have a catering side, too, like a hall. So we'll sit in the restaurant. Bar's kind of loud. We're the only people in the restaurant. We're also clearly the only white people. I don't think a lot of white people come into this restaurant. Young dude working. I order an espresso martini. He comes back 10 minutes later. He's like, we're at a whatever. And I go, don't even sweat it. I'll just take an orange crush, right? Like Maryland's drink. Can't screw that up. So then my aunt and uncle come in. Of course, they're like, oh, you saved us room. We're the only ones in there. But the food was awesome, right? It was just, I don't know. It was just one of those things. It was kind of funny. I got back and everybody's like, man, you're down for the calls. I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't care.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And so very Ted, to be honest.
I mean, right? It's on brand.
Yeah.
But the food was awesome. The only thing I miss about, and probably good, because I don't want to weigh, you know, 360 pounds anymore, but they just put everything in an egg roll. I had crab cake egg rolls, got like crab cake and a Caesar salad for dinner. And then when I was leaving, like I was going to get, my sister was like, get me something to go. And then I just ordered cheesesteak egg rolls to go. Because I knew I was going to see my other cousins. We were going to sit up having a few beverages. So I was like, those will be fire at 11 p.m. so do all that. Saw my cousin Tom. Good to see him. Now, here's the main thing, boys. It's still 90-some degrees, very humid, right? My sister being very nice, she's going to have people over. She's got a couple friends in town. So I kept saying, is there anything I can do to help? And she goes, yeah, just run the grill. Just heads up, if anybody, if you're ever in this situation and somebody goes, I just need you to run the grill, the first thing you ask is it gas?
Yeah.
It was not. I can't tell you the last time your boy Ted had worked a Weber. Yeah, it was hot out there. Like, I knew how to build the chimney, like the pyramid, and get the coals going. But I didn't really know how to work my smoke, so it took a while to cook the first round of stuff. Like, some people were kind of giving me crap, like, is that stuff's ever going to be cooked? It's like, I mean, my brother actually stuck up for me the next weekend. It's like, look, he's lived in Seattle for 20 years. He's always lived in apartments. Like, when do you think Ted's been cooking on all this charcoal?
Yeah, that's a pretty good call. And honestly, charcoal, the thing is, it does just always take longer than you think it will, especially if you were planning on gas where you just pop it on, you can crank the heat. It's like, charcoal's a process, you know?
It is. And I made all the rookie mistakes. I was not in the shade. And then for some reason, we didn't have any suntan lotion, except my cousin had like baby suntan lotion, which just doesn't, barely mixes into your skin. So now people I haven't seen are showing up. I'm just out there on the deck. I've got my towel in front of me. I've got, my arms are just white. I'm dripping sweat.
Pale and sweating is a bad combo. Right. And like kind of stressed over the grill and the food, you know?
Right. So then I start pumping stuff out. Now, keep in mind, my cousin Kelly, her due date was 2 days before this, right? So she is ready to burst. So at one point I go inside and I just look over to Kelly and I go, Kelly, God, it's so hot out there. I'm in front of that flame. Like, I'm so uncomfortable. And I go, look at you just sitting here as comfortable as you could be. And she's like, yeah, as comfortable as I can be.
She's like, I'm 8 months and 28 days pregnant.
She was past the due date. It had been 9 months.
Oh, my God. That's I got to say, in July in Baltimore.
Yeah, that's
like,
no,
that's
fun.
Next level. Like, D.C., I've spent some time in, and that gets hot, and it gets swampy. I don't know if Baltimore's similar, but I imagine it's not cooler.
No, same weather. But you know me, your boy got it done, and then after sitting out there for 2.5 hours, then I was like, the coals are still rolling. Do I need to cook anything else before we get going? Like, I saw some people I haven't seen in years, and they're showing up. Like, no, do not touch me. Once I'm done grilling, I will run upstairs and change shirts. We can all get some hugs in then. But like, it's gross out here. Yeah, but fun day. I'm taking credit. Kelly left my sister's house at 6, wasn't in labor, and then ended up having that baby at 2:50 in the morning. So I'm thinking the spicy sausages I cooked really kickstarted
it. I was going to say, some people are saying it was the food. Right? Nice, dude. God, Ted just draining threes. Love that.
I think overall the phrase I said the most on this trip, which, you know me, I don't mind, was, oh, I'm on it, I'll take care of it. So then, as I was saying off the cast, well, my mom does have early onset Alzheimer's, right? So might have been a little more than I expected, but it's okay, like, she's still in there. So then get up Monday morning, hop on the train in Baltimore. We're heading up to Boston. By the way, if you're going to fly, it's quicker, right? It's like an hour. But instead of driving 8 hours, man, taking the train was awesome. We spent the first half of the trip in the little cafe car. I call it the bar car, but I think it's technically the cafe car. You know, just having snacks, chilling out. She will make some wild comments. She's not big on tattoos. You know what? I might share that other story off the cast with you too. But like, you get to New York and it's like they're changing the staff, whatever. So on the train, if you don't have business class, once you pick your seats, they put a little thing up there like, these are your seats, but they changed the whole crew. So we had to go back and get in our seats, and it was cool, right? Like, her back was hurting. So we, you know, you could plug in a heat, you know, her, the back, the warmer, whatever.
Yeah, like a heat pad.
Yeah. But, you know, we got up there. We got out to the Cape. You know, went to see my cousins at the bar. My nephew is like one of the bartenders at Neptune's. Boys, Neptune's on Cape Cod Hyannis. Unreal. I mean,
that's live.
Yeah. Used to be Smith Family Beer Garden. Now it's different. And Cobb, I think you will very much appreciate this. They're like, the first night we got in there, there's just like groups of chicks. And I'm like, this is kind of impressive. And my one cousin's like, yeah, we're kind of running a chick. Like, he goes, we didn't mean to, but it's like definitely a place for girls to hang out. Well, then I spent like, you know, I was in and out of there for 3 days straight. It's like, yeah, all they hire is like 21 and 22 year old college dudes with like good jaw lines, and they're all super friendly. So I was like, you're running basically like a reverse Hooters up here, boys.
Like, no yeah, wonder, exactly.
No wonder all these chicks are coming in.
Dude, that's good though, man. The chicks come in, the men chase the women. Like, if you have a bar with no women, you know, you're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, dude. I mean, right, I've been to too many bars with no chicks. It's like, yeah, it's fine. But like, yeah, having more women will always bring in more guests.
Well, and also those photos you sent me, I mean, it was people, you're not even giving its full due. Like, it was banging. I mean, you know, I know it's not the Smith Family Beer Garden technically anymore, but like, there was a lot of Smiths in there. There was even more just randoms. I mean, that thing was packed. Like, you sent me, I think, three photos. And every one of them was like, Jesus.
Yeah. July 3rd, dude, it was all hands on deck at Neptune's. And I mean, there's a band out. There's like a band area out front, right? Where like the beer garden is. Then they had a band at night on the inside. But like out front, this band is just playing cover hits, and it ends. The girl's like, all right, he's been working on this one. He says some of you guys are gonna like it. Dude breaks into Creed, and I'm just like, yes.
Right?
Old man now.
Also, not the easiest like voice. That's impressive.
It wasn't. I saw the guy later in the bar and complimented him. And when he started talking to me, I did not expect a gay dude from P-Town.
What?
Yes. He was very effeminate. And I was like, oh, that caught me off guard.
That shocks me. I would not have expected that either.
Yeah. And just, what was I going to say? Like, outside of like, right, like, obviously, taking care of my mom and stuff, got out to Seafood Sam's here, and Seafood Sam's is in Sandwich. There's the Pilot House. That's kind of fancy. The Smiths go to Seafood Sam's, and we're driving over there. My cousin Carly goes, Maureen, it's my mom's name, there's any fish, you know, seafood you want, what would it be? I've never heard my mom bring this up. She goes, haddock. I love haddock, right?
What?
I know, haddock. So the menu is kind of a big deal because she always looks at it, wants to change her mind, you know. So like, we're at Seafood Sam's and I look over and boys, I mean, just a thing of beauty. I go, here you go, mom. Special of the day. Fucking haddock. She's like,
let's go.
Yeah, right. That's one of those like, that's an easy win. Let's go.
The gods have smiled upon us.
Yeah. And then like my cousin Pat. He's got four kids, also kids, but his one son, Connor, is not like, you know, just, you know, not a big hugger, not the biggest social kid. So I love that all the kids like me. We're out swimming in the pond. It's a natural lake, but they call it a pond. I don't know the difference. That's just what they call them on Cape Cod. And we're out there kind of deep. Here comes Connor. Then he's like, Teddy. Oh, yeah. He's like, can you hold my hand? I said, sure. And then I go, usually swim out this deep, right? But and he's kind of coming up for air, and he's like, not without my life vest. So I just kind of tuck my arm under his shoulder, like, I got you. And I'm like, oh, good man. Glad you had the balls. I don't think I said guts to come out here or whatever. But just, I'm telling you, boys, that was my line of the week. Nope, I'm on it. Ted's on it. No worries.
That's awesome, man. God, yeah, the Cape, especially, I mean, July is like, it's the Cape's time to shine. That's a perfect spot to be out, or time to be out there. So basically, in Maryland, you crush crab all day, right? Blue crab. When you go out to the Cape, as you've been a couple times, what's your move? Because people get kind of torn. There's three different seafoods there sort of competing for top dog. What do you do?
To me, like, you still get a lobster roll at some point. And then you ever had a stuffed quahog? They just call them stuffies.
No, I've had a lobster roll, but never a I've never even heard of a stuffy, actually. And I lived in Boston.
Oh, yeah. Well, out on the Cape, they look at you like you're insane. Like, you never had a stuffy? Yeah, they sell them down here. Sell them down there. So, and then my cousin Carly, one night we had like a big family dinner and she made stuffed lobster, which is pretty.
Oh, yeah.
Just so good. Yeah. So just, I mean, real good time. And then what was I going to say? Yeah, I flew out on the 4th. Not a lot of traffic in the airport, which was good, but also not a lot of buses going from Cape Cod back to the airport. But I mean, it had been a lot of days of super family time. So I just got on a bus at noon, my 4:11. My flight wasn't until 6. I was like, I'm going to spend $140 in the airport at Legal Seafood. But I was like, screw it. I'll just go early. I'll sit there at a bar and just talk to people and be fine. And it was great. All right, I met some dude that he's a ref for soccer. So he wanted to talk soccer and everything. So, I mean, just a real good time. And then just because I was just busy the whole trip, there was some massive storm in the Midwest. We left Logan Airport and flew through Texas to come back. God, it was like,
oh, my God. Was that like a 7.5-hour flight?
It was like 6.5 hours. Every once in a while, they're like, you could see some fireworks out there as we fly over like Dallas and then like Idaho Falls.
God.
Oh my God. I'm never getting home.
Wait, you guys came through Texas? We had like biblical rainstorms on the 4th. Why on earth would they send you down here? I mean, everyone's seen the news, right? Like 200 deaths outside of, you know, between Austin and Dallas, basically.
Was that the day before? I don't know. I will tell you.
It was on the 3rd and the 4th. Yeah, it was raining on the 4th. I went to an awesome party with an ice sculpture, and it melted because it was getting rained on.
Well, all I know is we're flying.
That's my subtle flex. Never seen an ice sculpture at a house party before. It's cool.
That's a good point.
Just got to shove it in there. Finish your story.
I mean, it took us. We were flying. You guys have seen storms when you're flying. I swear to God, it took us half an hour or 40 minutes. It just seemed like we were flying by this storm for that long. So, yeah, I was on what airline was I on? Flies out of Boston. JetBlue. So you could track. And I was like, well, this doesn't seem right. And then I asked the flight attendant. She was like, oh, look at your screen. There's a lot of storms out there. And I was like, holy shit, we're in Texas.
A long day. To start on the Cape at noon and then a sick. Wow, dude. God, you are doing God's work out there, just like your aunt and uncle said.
Yeah. We did. What was it? I think on the 2nd or something, me and my cousins and my sister had flown up to kind of make sure my mom could get home. So they're like, we're going to go down to Dennis and go to this local bar, which was awesome. But my
up to Dennis, right? You guys are in.
We stayed in Hyannis. I did look like a complete bitch though when we went swimming in the ocean. Like it's my cold, cousin, she's training to swim the part of a triathlon, and then I'm just kind of as they've described it now, frolicking in the waves. But I guess my head must have been scanning a lot because my aunt was like, "There's not sharks in the inner Cape," and I was like, "You can never be too sure." And then. The other line they got me on was it was like cloudy. I mean, full cloudy, breezy. There's hardly anybody in the water. And before we got out of the car, I said, I don't trust these clouds. Do we have any sunscreen?
Damn, dude. That's wow. Yeah, yeah, I mean, they say that about the inner Cape, but you're right. Like, it's directly open to the ocean. You know?
They're great.
There could be anything in there.
Yeah. It's not like they're. You know, black tips or lemon sharks. They're great whites. That's what I was like, yeah, you know what? You got me. I still got in, but I was a little scared. And then on the 4th, somebody down in something hole, like the same thing, inner Cape, and these girls were out paddleboarding, and a great white swam by them. So I don't think I was that far off.
Oh, my God. Board.
Yeah.
Are you talking about down by Mashapi? Or actually, it doesn't matter.
Mashpee?
Yeah.
So, all right, real quick, because I want to hear Matt's Europe's. Also,
Woods Hole, probably. Sorry.
Woods Hole. That's exactly where it was. when we were down in Dennis at this local bar, my cousins are throwing darts. And like this one girl comes over, she wants to play darts. We're kind of like, yeah, all right, whatever. And then this guy comes over and they're like, just so you know, it's like a fisherman's bar. His accent was so thick. He's like, yeah, I'm a fisherman. Like, but I'm gonna curse a lot. He's like, but I'm fucking terrible at dots. Like, I'll play dots with you guys or whatever. And at this point, right, like, it's been a long day. I just look over and go, no. And he's like, what? And I go, no. Okay, I'm not playing darts with you. Let me guess. You suck at pool too. Like, there's no chance I'm getting hustled by a local fisherman down here at this bar.
That's awesome.
Now I think we should have Matt flex a little bit since old world traveler Cobb there has never been to London. Now, ooh, two of us have.
Yeah. Yeah, London was awesome. Partially because they speak English. Like, when you're there, yeah, you're just like, oh, these accents are fun. And then, like, you know, it just got progressively less English speaking as we went on. Like, Amsterdam's Dutch, but a lot of people speak English. Paris, people won't speak English, even if they do. Switzerland has four national languages. English is not one of them, but everybody seemed to speak pretty good English there. Apparently, it's like being multilingual is like part of their national pride.
It's because we won the war, bro.
Huh?
It's because we won the war, bro.
Because we won the war. Dude, like, I don't know. I've just been thinking about it a lot of like, I think people do it everywhere where they act like they know a bunch of stuff. And at least 99% of the people I know that pretend like they know a lot of stuff literally just speak one fucking language. So, like,
yeah,
stop acting like you know it all, because all you know is English. So, like, that's the end of the story. Like, you don't know all the language. So what do I care? So just some of the attitude. It was really humbling. You know, there was a guy in Zurich, our waiter at brunch. I'm jumping around, but the waiter had Down syndrome and spoke three languages passably. And like, you know, I love people with Down syndrome, but just seeing that, I was like, what, dude, he's talking German to them, French to them, and English to us. And like, everybody's getting what they ordered out on time. Like, especially that was right after Paris, the service sucked there. It was such a breath of fresh air. yeah. So I feel like an idiot only speaking one language and not even that well a lot of times. But yeah, London, you know, that the Englishness of all the signs are in English, so you can just read and understand what's going, because you need to get through the metro and everything. Like, it made it a lot easier.
The tube,
yeah.
Yeah, mind the gap. I always seen those signs, and then I was in London. I was like, oh, that's a real thing.
Yeah, dude. I minded the fuck out of the gap.
I almost got run over twice for looking the wrong way when I was trying to cross the street.
So, no, I was good, but it freaked me out for the whole rest of the trip. Like, I had no idea. Even though our driver from the airport in London was like, no, England's the only country where they drive on the left side of the road. And have the steering wheel on the right-hand side. So I knew London was the only one that was like that, but it was still so unsettling that, like, Amsterdam, Paris, Zurich, Milan, they're all, like, the states. They're all coming on this side of the road I'm used to, but I'm like, I just can't check enough. interestingly, the rest of the UK, the rest of Europe outside of the UK or England, they drive on the right side and their steering wheel's on the left side, but they all do kilometers per hour. And in England, it's all, they're driving on the left side of the road with the steering wheel on the right, and it's all in miles per hour. And I was like, both of you guys are so close. Like, how come, you know, it's just, it makes no sense. And the different currencies, there was three different currencies. It's just like so much of this stuff, you know, cultural customs is like, you know, kind of frivolous at the end. Like, everybody's fine. Everybody's the same over there as over here. I wanted them all to be like way smarter and more dignified. And there was a lot of like, you know, you'd see people looking like idiots and then they're speaking the native tongue or they have a British accent and you're like, ah, everyone does that back home. And I'm like, we're just stupid Americans in America. I'm like, ah, there's stupid people in Europe too. Don't worry about it.
We call them chavs.
But yeah, it was London. I mean, we were there for 5 days, but we went to see Linkin Park at Wembley. And that was, I mean, so we were on the floor, Ted. So we couldn't see, but.
Okay. I was about to say, could you find your seats? Because I don't know how to explain it. Trying to find my seats at Wembley. Like, the numbers are just different. And there's, like, all these different little doors. I was like, I finally just gave up and just had to ask an usher. Like, I feel like I'm close. And he's like, yeah, you're not that far off, but I'll show you.
It was a very, very confusing, overwhelming stadium. But since we were just on it's the massive. Ground, it was GA. But
all right,
we were on the pitch, you know? Like, obviously, yeah. There's no grass. But so just looking up at that ceiling and, like, just being there was, like, surreal. And just having seen Live Aid and Queen and a lot of other footage of on YouTube and stuff, you know, just being in that blob of people, one of those tiny little specks, was awesome. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. Most of the history I know about that is music based for Wembley. Like, I thought a team played there regularly. That stadium just sits there until the English national team's ready to go, or
English national team, and then like the promotion final or semifinals and finals from like the championship up to the Premier League, they get played at Wembley. Like the FA Cup final gets played at Wembley. Like, they'll have some preseason tournaments. I think 1 year West Ham played there because their stadium was getting rebuilt.
Tottenham.
Or no, they played at the Olympic Stadium.
Tottenham.
So yeah, Wembley just kind of sits there. There's no one resident until, like, it's either a massive match or it's the national team.
Yeah. So to me, that, like, made it kind of tighter. Like, I understood the reverence for it a little bit more. Like, this is reserved for the big dogs. This isn't just a home stadium for a team that's playing every season. And yeah, so, you know, it was, there's just like an energy about it. And like, even the locals we talked to in town, like, you're going to Wembley. Like, it was a big deal. It's not like, oh, you're going up to the Space Needle or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, people were genuinely pretty stoked, even the locals. And yeah, so we spent 4 other days.
I mean, you could support a team for years. Yeah, you could support one of those clubs for years that never wins an FA Cup or something, and like, you just wouldn't go to Wembley.
Yeah. Like, I was kind of shocked. I thought it was more common. But yeah, it was you know, that was a definite highlight. We went to see Phantom of the Opera, my favorite play from when I was a kid. That was nice. Tight. In the first, like, 5 minutes of the play, these people behind me wouldn't stop talking. And I was like,
all right,
dude, where are these ushers at? Like, do your damn job. They shouldn't be talking during the performance. This is such bad theater etiquette. And I was like, I kept just having this distracting discussion with myself of, like, what can you do about it, dude? And, I'm like, let the ushers do their job. And I'm like, the ushers aren't doing their job, dude. No one's coming to save you. And I was like, okay, I got this. And then they kept talking. And at one point, Tyler turned around to look at him. I'm like, now you're distracting my girl. So I turned around, looked them both in the eye, and just hit him with a quick, assertive, shh. And they looked at me like I was insane, but not a peep for the rest of the performance.
Nice.
Nice, dude. Like, one American time exceptionalism.
Yeah, the one time I've been
kiss
to
the ring, bitch.
American exceptionalism. Yeah, that's pretty good. The one time I've been to the symphony, after the break, my buddy was a little like, he kept asking me for something, and I'm like, here, I was like, stop, right? And he's like rifling around. And finally the guy behind us just leaned forward and went, you're being very distracting. And I was like, I was kind of like, yeah, but I was like, he's right. I didn't say anything. I was like, he's right. Because it was so quiet. But I thought it was a very nice touch the way he said it. Same with you. Just like, shh, like, yep, understood.
Well, the way that guy said that, too, it's like, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Buddy,
like,
my buddy was making noise, and I'm next to him. And in my head, I'm like, please, God, just stop making noise. So when that guy said that, I was like, I wanted to be like, thank you.
We had a great time, and there's a lot of sweet views. We found a really cool rooftop bar that I actually seen online at the top of a hotel. And so it was kind of wild because it was like 16 stories up. So I'm like, okay, this is the deck we used to chill on in Seattle. Like, I know this elevation very well. It's probably one extra story because they count the ground level as zero, not one. But I'm up there. And when you're on the street, everything feels ginormous everywhere because everything's like 4 or 5 stories high. But then you're up on 16, which is 17 floors up, and you could see over all of it. Like, there's just not that many until you get into like, there's a section of London that's not very touristy with like some skyscrapers, but that's like way out there. Like, central London, when you're on the street, you feel so tiny and everything feels gigantic. But when you get up above it, you're like, all that stuff's way down there. Like, what the hell is going on here?
And it is wild. Like, one night, like, we were walking around and like the tour guide took it to this, like, this bar. And he's like, this is where Shakespeare sat and drank.
Whoa.
I'm like, this one? He's like, yeah. I'm like, that's insanity.
Whoa.
Right? We just don't have stuff that old here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Europe's on another level when it comes to history.
And London there's tons of pubs that are like from the 1700s.
Yeah.
Like, if you were built in 1850, I don't even think your sign advertises how long you've been around there. So many 17 whatevers. And yeah, it was a trip. We did a sightseeing tour and like went to Buckingham Palace. They weren't doing the changing of the guard that day, but we went back the next day to watch that because our tour guide like told us where to sit for it. So you're not like, you know, he gave us some local pointers and it was pretty tight, but it's also like, I don't know. I still don't understand the point. Like, some of that royal family stuff, just, I don't think American minds can understand all the hoopla. I was definitely that guy in my Sherman's bucket hat. Like, what's the big deal? yeah, that tour took us to the London Eye too. So we had a really cool view there. And the Tower of London had a lot of really interesting history. And then on Carson the Lawyer's emphatic recommendation, we went to Ministry of Sound, which is like a legendary nightclub across the river, and danced a little bit. You know, hit our we had a couple non-alcoholic beers there. I was hitting my neti stick, my vape pen, just like such an American like 38-year-old. People were having a great time there. That was the night that we like had to rush through the tube station to catch the last train. And yeah, it was nuts. It was just a ton of fun. And My favorite thing was just walking around and looking at all the stuff, all the buildings and everything. And the ceilings. The British Museum had an awesome ceiling. And that was kind of when it started. But then I just kept kind of like looking up at everything the whole time I was there. And St. Paul's Cathedral, that was the other thing we did on the tour, where like the ceilings are just so goddamn ornate. Like, and like, I don't even know how the artists do it. Like, are they just up there doing, or do they design it on the ground and then hoist it up there and build the building with it?
They lay on their back.
I like,
on like a scaffolding.
Yeah.
Really?
I like St. Paul's too, because like, what, like the Romans sacked it, then somebody else did, then the Germans bombed the shit out of it. But I like the English are just like, screw you. We'll rebuild. We'll keep rebuilding it. Like, we're not letting it, not letting it fall.
Yeah. Yeah. That, that right, was,
like, I thought it was like, good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. The, our tour guide was telling us about all that stuff. And, you know, it's, yeah, just the history over there. It's like tough not to get interested in it while you're there, because it's he knows what he's doing and who's booking the tours. He's like, so again, America wasn't even a country at this point. Like, he was just having fun with it. And I wanted to be like, you know what? You wouldn't have electricity without us, dude. Like, shut your goddamn mouth. I could feel my life.
It's like that classic line, like, you're lucky you're not speaking German.
See, I was on the opposite, right? Like, I spent the third on Cape Cod. Like, America is f***, right? Yeah. And, like, flags and the bunting on those old New England houses. Like, it just looks gorgeous. So, like, I'm tweeting out on the fourth, like, don't forget to throw tea in the harbor.
Ted, just the fact that you know the word bunting, like, tells me you're an East Coast guy.
Oh, yeah. I learned about the shingles and, like, how they're on all sides of the house and they get weathered and have that color. Like, it's just, yeah. So I'm in a town whose graveyard has revolutionary soldiers buried in it, and you're in London.
Yeah. Right. By the fourth.
Where was the best food, Matt?
Huh?
Where was the best food?
The restaurant we went to in Zurich, called Woski, right. If anyone goes there.
I got to be honest. Zurich is what? Switzerland?
Dude, Zurich was a big highlight for sure. Amsterdam we had been to before, and it was tight. And we did some new stuff, and we did some similar stuff, and they have some really good food. I don't think we had actual Dutch food. I don't even know what Dutch food is, really. I mean, we had stroop waffles, but, so in Zurich, one of my clients gave me an end of season tip and was like, you know, enjoy a nice meal on us on your trip. And so then I was like, we don't really have anything on the schedule for Zurich. Like, let's get into some Swiss food, some nice Swiss food. And it's got Michelin starred. There's no menu. They just ask you, do you want the 4-course or the 5-course? Do you want wine?
Nice.
That's it. They take care of the rest. And it rotates, like, I don't know if it's weekly or what, but based on what's fresh and in season on hand. And they're in there, like, we're sitting right by where they're pickling all their own stuff, and they have their, you know, like, it's just the attention to detail was next level. And then the creativeness of the dishes, the artistic, like, plating and the, you know, just the concepts of how they're making it. Like, what did the thing we had? Some salad thing had pickled watermelon in it. I was like,
oh, nice.
I didn't know you could pickle watermelon. And the dishes,
not with that attitude.
Huh?
Not with that attitude.
Not with that attitude. Yeah, they were pickling so much stuff. I didn't take any damn pictures there. We were just like committed to just living it, you know, and I'm like, God damn it, I can't remember what they were pickling by us. But I mean, it was 20 different jars of 20 different things being pickled. And then they're like, yeah, have this salad with pickled watermelon in it. And yeah, they, like I said, I can't recommend anything because by the time someone else goes there, they'll have switched their menu and come up with other awesome ideas. And I had raclette for the first time. You guys know what raclette is?
It's a cheese, correct?
Yeah, and they like scrape it off with the hot sort of scraper thing. So then it's melted.
Man, and look at the big brain on Ted. I was fancy as hell. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
Raclette. So Matt, what is it? Tell me, I'm interested. I don't really know.
They take like a big block of cheese and then they take like a hot, almost like a paint scraper or something and just scrape down, and then it melts the cheese as it scrapes it onto the rice or potatoes, I mean, or they had like a bread version, but the one I got was potatoes.
Wait, so it's raclette the type of cheese or the technique?
I thought it was the technique because there's multiple styles of cheese you could pick from.
Cool.
Damn,
that's posh.
Like, I didn't see any Swiss cheese on the menu. It was just all these types of cheese from Switzerland. So I don't know how the Swiss cheese in America thing works. And, you know, but the Swiss love their cheese. They do a great job with it.
It's like American cheese. You know, we still have cheddar.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they had Swiss, you know, they had Gouda and
Raclette is a Swiss cheese.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, because there's restaurants I think in America that do it now, but they probably use different cheeses.
Okay.
Yeah. And since you mentioned Gouda, the cheese of my people, smoked Gouda is one of the top cheeses out there. I gotta say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gouda. Yeah.
Gouda doesn't miss.
But the highlight is Zurich.
Gouda don't miss.
I mean, that's kind of the, what was I going to say? That's like Baby Bells. I think they are like a form of Gouda.
Really?
Yeah. Because I was like, Baby Bells, like, it's kind of good. What is this? So, you know, I had to look it up. And I'm like, oh, it's like a little kid version of Gouda.
Yeah. The mineral bath or the mineral spa thermal bath that they do.
Oh, that photo you sent me looks sick.
In Zurich is unreal. Apparently, it's a whole thing throughout Switzerland. Ted, you'll like this because we're in the elevator coming down from the rooftop mineral spa infinity pool at sunset. And then we're taking the elevator back down to the indoor one in the basement of the old brewery. And I mean, Ted, it's not a hot tub temperature, so you can stay in there forever and have no problems. We're getting a little pruney, but they have what they call bubble loungers. So it's a bunch of like steel rods, just lined up to create like a lounge chair that you can just chill in, and it runs the entire length of the pool. So it's just like an each rod has just these little holes that are just spitting out micro bubbles, like all up and down your body. And then it's got, the ultimate relaxation. So we're heading back to the indoor one in the basement in the elevator. And there's another couple in there. And the guy's like, oh yeah, we got to cut these wristbands off. I'm like, how'd you get those wristbands, guys? And they're like, oh, we were just at a hard techno festival in Croatia. And I'm like, no way, dude. He's from America. I could tell the accent, but I also just recognized the festival wristband, you know, days after your festival look. And I was like, I know that look, dude. And his girlfriend lives in Switzerland. And so he's been all over the country, and he's like, they have these all over the place. It's like a thing over here. And it's one of the coolest parts about Switzerland. So you don't just have to go to the one I went to. But the one I went to was super tight. And yeah, man, just the infinity rooftop pool with the bubble loungers was just like, God damn, dude, I could spend hours here. And then we went back the next day and did spend more hours there.
Yeah. I want to go over there because, like, where I was at in Germany in Wolfratshausen, our buddy Barnes, he went over to Switzerland to go see like the castle that Cinderella's castle is based off of. And we were sitting there have a beer, and I'm like, just look up where I was. And he was like, dude, you were just 90 minutes away from it. Because like we were looking at the Swiss Alps every day. Okay. So apparently we were so far south in Bavaria. Like we were like, he was like, it's 90 minutes over the mountains. So all right, Mr. Cobb, do you have a 4th of July story? I feel like we've been telling our travels before we take a break.
Just keeping it brief. My friend has a lake house for the summer down in Austin, and he went all out, boys. He had a full giant Bitcoin ice sculpture. Ted, you could probably guess who it is. And it was sick. That's how he made a large majority of his cash. And so giant Bitcoin ice sculpture, but it rained and this whole house, you know, is predicated on like hanging at the pool, barbecuing, whatever. So everybody inside and spirits, for some reason, when you like cram everyone together, it got rowdy. It was so much fun. The bartender was our old concierge from our building, and it was just live. Matt, just so you know, you're glitched out. It was awesome, and just, you know, Texas knows how to do 4th of July. Fireworks were canceled. Didn't make a difference. Everyone had an awesome time, so happy 4th, boys. And God bless America.
God bless America. That happened at Neptune's. A storm blew in, so everybody from outside had to come inside, and you're right. It got rowdy pretty quickly. And then Jesus.
Yeah, it gets feral.
They were waiting for their bass player, I guess, who does some of the singing. They played Sweet Caroline. And I mean, all those people in New England, as they play it at the Sox games, just, I was like, that band could just play Sweet Caroline like every half an hour on the half hour. And this place would erupt every time.
But, look, if I know Boston, all you do is switch between Sweet Caroline and Don't Stop Believing. You got them by the balls.
Real quick before we take a break, I'll talk a little more about Camp Cash last week because we got to talk about our buddy's band Champagne Heist and Bar Ted.
Heist.
And I was serving this one. I feel bad. I can't remember his name, but a bigger dude, right? Like big, tough dude, looking dude, bald beard, serving him drinks. And then at one point, I'm like, he's like, what else you got? I'm like, you want just some whiskey? He's like, yeah. I was like, whiskey ginger? He's like, yeah, Ted. And I was like, all right. And then I had a little more of a staff this year. So I was kind of out from behind the bar talking to him. And, you know, like some people at Camp Cash Bash will recognize him from the men's room. But he was like, LARP on. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, oh, you listen to the podcast? He's like, yeah, dude. And I'm like, oh, that's unreal. And this and that. And George was standing next to me. And I go, well, let's see how long you've been listening. Like, this is George. And he goes, the Black Republican? And I was like, yeah. So he was like pumped to me. It was a nice special moment that like, yeah, I can't remember his name, but credit to him. Awesome. And I had to tell you boys that too. I was like, all right, like we're rocking and rolling.
Dude, that's incredible. The Black Republican. I forgot about that. George is amazing.
All right, let's take a break here and we'll come back with some emails. What's Matt and then the cop topic? All right, welcome back. And thanks to all our sponsors out there. Things get stinky, call Pinkies. All right, Mr. Cobb, do we have some emails?
Of course. Airport security. Hey, Ted, I was listening to the men's room and wanted to comment about the damn red box around the junk at the airport scanner. Oh, any idea what that is, Ted?
Yes. It's become a joke. Every time I go through the scanner, there's like three red spots on me, two under my arms and then one on my balls. And it's like I got hot balls. That's like that's the big joke. But they're always like, you know, like, do you need to go to a separate room for the search? And I'm just like, no, I run hot.
Got that heater on me. You can touch them here. I'm confident. Touch them
in public.
Yeah, make them work for it. I like that. I too get stopped every time for the red square. And one time the machine said excessive moisture. My wife and friends give me crap every time we're at the airport. I have a pacemaker, so unfortunately I have to go through the scanner every time because I'm not allowed to go through the metal detector. Just wanted to let you know, I feel your pain, brother. LARP on. Tony Baloney, a.k.a. Togna, a.k.a. Talonia.
Yeah, it's just become like a joke. Because two of my friends are like, do they stop me again? I go, they stop me every time in there, all right? And I'm just like, nope, it's fine. Yep, back of your hand, just get it done.
That's pretty invasive, Jesus. Cobb topic morals. Greetings, gents. Damn, Cobb. headphones are $10. Like, I know you're in big popcorn and jet setting around the globe, but tell us you're out of touch without telling us you're out of touch. Did I not have headphones? I don't even remember. What happened?
I don't know. It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah. It's from June. I don't even remember what we did, but I am out of touch. I know that about myself. The only reason I know that is because my wife's out of touch and I hang out with her a lot. So here we are. As for morals that other people don't follow, ghosting instead of canceling plans or dates. If you don't want to go, that's cool. Just tell me so I can ask someone else. LARP on, the friendly IT guy. P.S. The correct place to use sugar-free Cool Whip is in the bedroom.
All right.
That's actually a great callback.
Dude, we got a men's room birthday email the other day. And the guy, like, at the end of it was like, P.S., like, LARP on. And he referenced three things that went so far back. He was like, stay away from Tina.
Oh.
Like, right? I was like, damn. God damn. Like, I hit him right back. I'm like, damn, dude, that's a deep reference point. I was like, good on ya.
That was a deep cut.
Yeah. I was just like, he like made a whole sentence out of just like three or four reference points from like years ago on the cast. I was like, that's impressive.
I mean, that's back in Matt's dating days. Matt, how long have you been together with your current girlfriend?
Alley cat life. 9 years.
You guys have been together for 9 years? That was 9 years ago?
Yeah, dude. It was before you met your wife.
Wow. Dude, alley cat days, man. Those streets were mean.
Yeah.
They were fun.
That's pretty good.
She belongs to the streets. All right. That's it for me.
All right. Well, Matt, we've heard about Europe. Let's hear about the last weekend with What's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to What's Matt,
what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out What's Matt.
What's good? What's Matt? Whoa.
Before we get to What's Mattening,
What's good? What's Mattening? Whoa.
Check out with What's Mattening.
Yeah, we got back. We were not too jet lagged. Every flight was delayed on the 3-flight return home, and you know it was. I mean, it was, we came home, we got back like right as the sun was setting, and it was just like, dude, this is a pretty tight thing to just like come back to, like as far as like, yeah. Oh, I was just on vacation. Now I feel like I'm on vacation still. And
did you stop at like, after 2 weeks in Europe, did you like, were you like, we got to go to In-N-Out and get a burger? Was there anything like,
yeah. But we didn't.
Let's eat that when we get home.
Because we were still kind of. I think we might have eaten in Phoenix or something. So we just weren't that hungry. So we had In-N-Out the next day. That was discussed as a post airport option. But we ended up opting for sleep instead, basically. And yeah, then we. The weekend, you know, it was just kind of getting everything back in order for the most part. I take care of my dad's pool, so I had to go, you know, that hadn't been serviced in 2 weeks. So I had to, you know, get that all situated. It was a very easy adjustment because it's just like super slow here right now and chill and, you know, beautiful. I was worried about like, man, I know I always say like, oh, it's fine, it's a dry heat, da 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 da, I play golf in it, but being away from it for 2 weeks and then coming back to it and it's like high of, you know, 107 or whatever. Although we did miss like 5 heat advisory days while we were gone. So like you're gonna get some heat advisory days here, you know.
Tomorrow's gonna be low 90s. I'm in a heat advisory currently in Seattle.
Low 90s, dude. What is this, midnight?
Damn.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that warm up there.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. the '90s. And so to have had our trip lined up with, you know, one of the heat waves of the summer was pretty good news to come back to. Like everything in our condo was hot when we came back. Cause like our neighbor, I think, ran the AC a couple times, you know, but like I remember the next morning grabbing my Yeti from the cupboard. So the AC had run all night, overnight, and it was like hot to the touch, not warm. Like it was hot still after a full night of AC, and I had to like put it in the fridge before I put water in it to cool it down. so yeah, it was definitely a pretty solid adjustment, all things considered. I've played golf twice since I've been back. Yesterday was my first round, and the front nine on the course is like really hard, like circus holes. The first six are just in mountains, so it's all this crazy elevation, up, down, you know, weird lengths. And I always like, I think the best I've shot on the front on that side is 44 before, and yesterday I shot a 40 on the front.
Nice.
And then fell apart on the back, predictably. And like the hole where it all started going wrong on the back nine, I tripled it, and then I doubled two of the last holes. And so on Tuesdays today, I always play in the skins game with all the guys from the pro shop that are like way better than me, and I've never actually won a skin, which is like you win the hole against everyone else playing. And today I was just playing like absolute shit, like seven balls out of bounds off the tee or something, while these guys are just like ripping their hybrid 280. Like it was just embarrassing. And then I've never won a skin before, but I told myself I was going to win my first skin this week. And on the hole that I tripled and fell apart on yesterday, I won my first skin. So
nice.
It was a big triumph, but if anybody golfs, you will totally understand. Like, I crushed the hard nine, and then the easier nine I just fell apart on. And then the next day, I birdied the hole that I tripled yesterday. Like, it's just golf stuff, but man, it's good to be back out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the joke about golf, right? I hate this game. I hate this game. One good hole. I like this game.
It's the best. Yeah. So. Right. So yeah, back into the summer swing. It's been fun seeing my clients again and getting back out on the course. And yeah, didn't have too much jet lag, all things considered.
Yeah, that's not too bad at all. I think it helps that you had enough time to like kind of adjust. Every time I've gone to Europe, it's only been for like three nights.
Okay.
So it's like by the time my body's, I don't know, I was all up and down. But I will say, when I got back from London, I was like, what do I want to eat? And it's like the middle of the afternoon on a Monday. I knew Monday Night Football going on. Went over to old, I miss her, Bill's off Broadway. Got a meatball sub.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah. We also got McDonald's this weekend because we had McDonald's in London. And they call McChickens mayo chickens over there. So we had to like get McDonald's very early in our return to compare the mayo chicken to the McChicken. One of the guys in line was like, it's shit over here, man. Like, you're from America. Our McDonald's is going to disappoint you. I didn't think it was that disappointing. But he was like, I went to Palm Desert one time. Yeah, we went to the Applebee's. I was like, God damn, dude. We're at a McDonald's nice. In London. You're talking to me about Applebee's right now.
It is wild. I know a guy online, that's all he travels around the world and he always goes to McDonald's. I'm like, that's not a bad call, just try them all out.
Yeah, menus are different everywhere. It's wild.
It is about that time now.
Boop, doop, 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 boop, 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 boop. Cob topic.
What's cob topic this week is just very apropos. We're talking about traveling. It's summer. People are still making vacation plans for August. we're all on the move. We're all on the shuffle. I fly out on Thursday, going to Chicago. The cop topic this week is, what's your favorite place you've ever been? As far as, like, it can't be your home, but, like, someplace you've traveled to that you really loved, appreciated. For instance, like, I loved Paris. Matt hated it. Like, just different strokes for different people. And, yeah, so I'm curious, like, just, you know, as people have traveled around and checked stuff out, like, what was your favorite spot? So feel free to hit us up. Just email me. Go straight to my phone. Email at thepodcast.com. Also, Isaac, shout out, great email earlier today. Not going to read it on air, but hilarious. All right, boys, what do we got?
Man. Well, I mean, it's tough because you live there, so that helps, but I have thoroughly enjoyed my trips to Austin.
Let's go. Let's go. And October, like, I'll see you.
Yeah. Like Milwaukee was fun, but like we were just there having fun. Whereas like Austin, I've been to where I'm like, I kind of get it. And then, you know what else? I liked Denver and I really liked Golden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Golden, Colorado.
Yeah. And I was shocked how close it was to Denver. I was like, this is pretty cool.
Ted, it looks like when you're in Austin, we have home game against Kentucky.
Yeah. I did not.
Pretty sure that's what this means.
I hadn't looked it up yet, but that's awesome.
Wait, does the home team come first or second?
Football second.
Yeah, never mind. They're on the road.
Wow.
Oh. Hey, we'll watch it at the Rustic Tap. All good.
Not being able to pick the Coachella Valley.
That's a little bit of a vibe killer. Sorry, boys.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Amsterdam probably. And that was our second time going there. And it's just such a wild town. Like, all the buildings are a little bit crooked because the ground shifted over the years. And, you know, I don't know how old all those buildings are, but again, like, the history goes back to like the 1200s. Yeah, all the canals and everything. It's just a really fun place. You can just smoke weed in the coffee shops, and it's a very different, like, legal weed vibe than we have here in the States. But yeah, Amsterdam is very, very high on the list for me. I'm glad we went back. Yeah, it was probably more fun the first time with Josh and Lance and more chemicals. But yeah, it's definitely a vibe over there. The bikes everywhere you got to watch out for, but it's pretty next level city.
Dude, that's sick.
I mean, I would put, you know, Munich on there as well. Like, I thoroughly thought Munich was a pretty cool city and enjoyed my time there.
I was hoping to slide in Australia too. Melbourne is my top city for sure.
God damn it. I know. And Aaron's going to hit me up on and send me a text. But like, we got to get down there. I got to get down there. You've been there.
Dude, it's a long way. I would consider going with, like, it's a long ways down there, but greatest city on earth, in my opinion. People are sleeping on the Aussies. I'll just say it right now. And Ted, if you're looking for a wife, God damn, is that the place to find one?
All right. Like, well, to bring it all together, right? Ron, that also listens to our podcast, lives in Belfast. That first game I went to overseas in Wembley, we're at the Green Man Pub, and the waitresses were unbelievable, right? It's all these Seahawks fans, so it's a lot of Americans. And he's just like, oh, she's from Australia. And I'm just like, how do you know? And he's like, they fly them in. Like, they're just built different. They're super friendly. I mean, just sending out shots. And I mean, it's funny now that you say that, I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, every time I've met Australian people, I'm like, you guys are fucking dope.
Yeah, that's the only place that I've ever seen like a stone cold 10. I mean, we're talking like movie star level in a grocery store. Like, you just see them everywhere and you're just like, you have got to be like one of the top models in the world. It's like, nope, just a mom going to pick up groceries. Like, it is stunning. It's staggering.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Talk a little more about my side business running bars at parties. But yeah, just great to see you boys. Glad we're back. Even people in my family have been asking me, when are you getting the boys back together?
Getting the band back together, baby.
So yeah, we'll be back next week. But for MCTP, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.